Boy, isn't it good to be able to celebrate that and pronounce that it's well with my soul. I love the beginning of that, whether there's peace like a river right by me, or whether I'm being tossed in the terrible billows of a storm in the midst of the sea. Either way, it is well with my soul. Just to be able to say, I know that I'm okay because the Lord is with me. That's what I want us to talk about in a way this morning. A very similar concept, similar idea. We talked with the kids about the fact that we're never really alone. And I want us to think about one of the habits that would help us to accelerate our spiritual growth. As you know, we've been talking about Accelerate this month. And each Sunday, we look at a different habit that will help us accelerate our spiritual growth. We've talked about prayer, we've talked about Bible study, we've talked about generosity. This morning, I want us to talk about the fourth habit, and that is the habit of solitude. If you have your Bible with you, see if you can find Isaiah chapter 30. We want Isaiah chapter 30 at verse 15. And when we started this series, we talked about what it takes to establish a new habit. And all of these habits and any other habit you want to establish in your life, it takes two things. One, you have to block off the time for it, and then you have to go to the trouble to make it happen. Think of it in terms of time and trouble. You have to block off the time for it, and then you have to go to the work, the trouble, to make it happen. Those two things have to take place if we're going to establish a new habit. And so I want us to keep that in mind this morning, because the habit of solitude is more clear than any of the other habits about how we have to make time for it, because it won't happen on its own, and how we have to work at making it a habit, because it doesn't come naturally for most of us. In Scripture, we see Jesus making time for solitude. In one place, he did that early in the morning before the sun came up. In another place, he did that late at night, almost midnight. In another place, he did that in the afternoon. But he made time, and he found a way to make it a part of his experience, his walk with the Father, where he would separate himself and find time, make time for some solitude. What's important is that he made that time and went to the trouble to make it happen. Now, I want to encourage us today to consider making solitude a habit. One of the reasons that we need to talk about it is because in this crazy, busy world, in this crazy, busy culture and society in which we live, we think there's no time for solitude. We feel like I can't give up all this other stuff. I can't shut out everything for solitude. But let's think about it carefully as we look at Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 15. I want to encourage us to see if this might not be a good way for us to spend some time and energy. In Isaiah 30 at 15, "For thus the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, has said, in repentance and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and trust is your strength." In quietness and trust is your strength. I think that we have a natural fear when we start talking about solitude. There are two or three things that we're afraid of. Part of it is we're afraid we'll be bored. Part of it is that we're afraid it'll feel lonely, that we'll be alone and it won't feel, it'll make us feel that loneliness. What I want us to consider this morning as we begin to look at what would solitude look like? What would solitude look like? The first thing is that when I'm in solitude, I'm alone with God. So we need not fear that loneliness. We are alone with God. In this verse, it said, "In quietness and trust is your strength." It's not just being quiet. but it's in quietness and trust. That word draws us into a relationship with God in which we depend on Him. We relate to Him, He relates to us. Solitude is when I'm alone with God in quietness and trust. And see, if God's not a part of the picture, then it's not solitude. If God's not a part of that time alone, that quiet time off by myself, if God's not a part of that, then it's not solitude, it's just isolation. I've just pulled myself out of the rest of the world around me. That's where we experience loneliness. And you know, I think there are some real concerns that we have today about why we don't do that more often. One of them is actually a new word in our vocabulary. You familiar with the word FOMO? FOMO, it's actually, it you can see it in the Urban Dictionary now, and it'll be very quick before it's in Webster. FOMO is a word that means the fear of missing out. We're afraid something's going to happen and we're going to miss it. And so we've got to be connected 24 hours a day. We've got to always be on alert. We don't want anybody to have a good time without us. We don't want anything to happen that we don't know about. And so every few minutes we've got to see who said what on Facebook. You know, who said what on Twitter. I mean, some of you people can let those notifications build up. We were talking about this the other night. You'll sit there with 20 or 30 little notifications on that Facebook or that Twitter thing, or your email will have 1,500 emails. That I can't stand that, man. I've got to clear those things. If something's happening, I got to know it. I can't have any of those little red dots on any of my apps. I've got to know what's happening. I'm clearing those things all the time. And part of that is that we are driven by a fear of missing out. Something might happen, and we didn't get to be a part of it. Solitude is so important that it drives us, it must drive us beyond that, because solitude is not being alone with ourselves. It's being alone with God. If it was just us, then yes, it would be a lonely, boring experience. But when we talk about solitude, we're talking about withdrawing from the world around us, turning off the phone or setting it aside, going to a place where there is no one else so that we can be alone with God. I have a little Facebook group that is a closed group for just my family, my mom and brothers and sister and their families, just us. And I asked on there last night, I asked my family, what was the difference between solitude and loneliness? And I think probably the best answer of all came from my nephew, Michael. You may remember Michael and his sister have played violin and viola for us a couple of times. He's very talented. Now he's over here at the seminary, at Truett Seminary. But he wrote that solitude is something we seek out. Loneliness is something that happens to us that we try to avoid. Solitude can imply peace, rest, reflection, or acceptance. Loneliness implies pain and being isolated against our wishes. I think that's a very good explanation of the difference. Solitude is on purpose, and it is a positive experience. We need to take time. We need to develop this habit to just stop everything. Step back. Be real with ourselves and real with God for a little while on a regular basis. Paul Tillich is a brilliant philosopher and theologian, and he said language has created the word loneliness to express the pain of being alone. And it has created the word solitude to express the glory of being alone. I think sometimes we're afraid of that lonely feeling, so we don't practice this habit. But I want to tell you, if you're feeling that loneliness, then you're not really practicing the habit of solitude anyway. Because solitude is a connection with God, you and Him alone. In our verse, it says, in repentance and rest, you shall be saved. See, I think that it's important for us, if we want to move forward in our lives, if we want to show spirituality in our lives, we have to allow ourselves the time to be alone with God, to practice that repentance and rest in Him. That's where we begin to grow. I think one of the other reasons that we're kind of afraid of solitude is we're afraid He may actually ask us to do something. He may point out there's something in our lives that He doesn't want there, and we may have to give up something, which is exactly why the verse says repentance and rest is your salvation. God may ask you to give up something. He may convict you when you're alone with Him and talking honestly and just being together. He may convict you of something in your life that you need to give up, but He will also forgive in that moment. He may challenge you to do something that you think you're not ready to do, but He will also provide every resource necessary for you to accomplish His will. So we need not fear. We can take time to just be alone with God. But not only are we alone with God in solitude I'm also quiet before God. Again, in our verse, it says repentance and rest, you'll be saved. In quietness and trust is your strength. Many of us have a hard time being quiet. Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is shut up. Sometimes it's hard for us just to stop talking. Stop trying to interact. Stop. Just be quiet. It can be very difficult for us. Ecclesiastes 5 and 2 says, do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you're on earth, so let your words be few. We live in a society that's uncomfortable with silence. We feel the need to fill that blank space. Don't you do that in our vehicles? The radios are built in such a way that we don't even have to turn them on when we get in the car. If it was on last time I turned it off, it's going to be on again. As soon as we get in the car, the radio's going. As soon as we get home, we turn on the TV. Most of the time, we're not really even watching. We just got to have noise. We've got to have something going on. It's hard for us to be quiet. And because it's hard for us to be quiet, it's also hard for us to learn to hear when the Lord wants to say something. We're used to motion. We're used to talk. We're used to noise. And so being quiet is a little bit uneasy. Let me show you what I mean. Let's do a quick experiment. For 1 minute, we're not going to play any music. We're not going to say anything. We're going to be quiet. And let me show you how uncomfortable it can be. For 1 minute, let's be quiet. Isn't that strange? It's awkward. And it seemed like it took forever. Did you catch on that wasn't even 1 minute? That was only 30 seconds? That was half the time that we talked about. 30 seconds and we're uncomfortable. We need something going on. We need input. We usually are making ourselves fill the silence. But in this time of solitude, if you're talking, you're not listening. That's true in a personal conversation too, isn't it? If you're talking, you're not listening. You can't do the both at the same time. That's why in a conversation, you speak and then you stop, so the other person can speak and you're listening. But you can't talk and listen at the same time. So when you withdraw for a time of solitude, this is not the habit of prayer. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago, and that's good. You need to talk to God. It's just prayer, it's just talking to God. The habit of solitude is not talking at all. Be quiet and experience His presence. Let Him speak or move or do whatever He wants to do in that time. Solitude is not getting God to listen to us. It's us listening to Him. And it's so important. But we have to develop that habit of solitude. We learn not only to talk to God, but to be quiet with Him as well. Psalm 131 and verse 2 says, I have calmed and quieted myself. I'm like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. Well, that's a strange picture. What is he talking about, like a weaned child? The first sign of growing, the first sign of maturing is when the baby is weaned. Now the baby can be content in other ways. Now the baby is beginning to grow. They're developing some sense of independence. The very first sign of maturing is being weaned. And so the first sign that we're growing spiritually is when we can calm and quiet ourselves. Just find the time. Turn everything off. Get away from people. And be quiet. Be calm. Experience God's presence. So often I hear people say, well, I can't find God. I don't feel God. I don't hear God. And many times the reason is you never stopped long enough. You never got quiet, so you can't hear. You never took time to just experience His presence. If we want to mature spiritually, if we want to grow up, we have to be still and quiet. The third thing we find out is that when I'm in solitude, I'm focused on God. When I'm in solitude, I don't need to fear being alone. I don't need to fear loneliness because I'm with God. When I'm in solitude, I can be quiet before God. I can speak in prayer, but then in solitude, I can be quiet before God. And now we see that in solitude, I am focused on God. Understand that solitude is not what we used to hear about in transcendental meditation, where it was just to be quiet and be still and empty your mind. That is not what we're talking about at all. Because it's actually the exact opposite. Instead of emptying your mind, you are filling your mind and your heart. You are being fulfilled instead of emptied. In solitude, we can just take time to be with God. We can focus on Him. The other thing is Eastern meditation is all about looking inward, and it's about self. Solitude is looking upward, and it's all about God. We focus on Him. Sister Laos Glory once said that solitude is not an empty space, a void. It's an encounter with the God who loves us. Through solitude, we are in a better position to let go and let God act in our lives, to surrender control, to know God loves us, and be open to the path along with God is moving us. The psalmist reminded us of that very thing when he said, "Be still." He quotes God the Father God the Father says to us, be still and know that I'm God. In my experience, I've learned that you can't experience the last half of that statement until you experience the first half. You cannot fully know that He is God until you first be still. Be still, be quiet. Find that place that allows you a sense of separation from all the things around you. Thomas A. Kempis said, in quiet and silence, the faithful soul makes progress. The hidden meanings of the scriptures become clear, and the eyes weep with devotion. Even as one learns to grow still, one draws closer to the Creator and farther from the hurly-burly of the world. You know, there's always a lot of input in our lives. We're just overwhelmed with all of the input that's coming to us. So we have to work at being quiet and focusing on God. Find a place where that's what you do, so your mind and your body get trained, that when I'm in this place, I know it's time to be quiet, to focus on God. Some people have access to beautiful places out in nature. You're not far from a place that you like to go where it's quiet and you can enjoy the nature around you and commune with God. The old song, in the garden, I walk with Him and talk with Him. It's in the garden that I experience His presence. That's great. You may have a room in your house where that can be a place where you just go to meet with God and be quiet in solitude and experience Him. When my sister built a house, they live in Pennsylvania, when she built a house, they built in one little section, they built a very small little chapel. It was just a little place with one little place to meet God. That way each person could take their turn and have their own little chapel spot. Sometimes during the week, I'll come in here and it's a big empty place, but it sure is quiet. And I can come in here and leave the lights off and just be still, be quiet, commune with God. I also found a way to do that in the car, believe it or not. Right after the explosion, I was dealing with a great deal of stress, as you were. A very good friend of mine gave me a great idea. At that time, I was living out of town. It takes 10, 15 minutes to get there. And he said, you need to take that 10 to 15 minute commute to just be quiet, to leave the chaos and the stress in town, so that by the time you get home, you've already been able to experience God a little bit. You can use the commute as a time for solitude. I would suggest that you keep your eyes open if you're going to do it that way. But turn off the radio, leave out the CDs, just use that time to commune with Him. However you do it, wherever you do it, remember that when you're in true solitude, you're focused on God. Henri Nouwen wrote, without solitude, it is virtually impossible to live a spiritual life. Solitude begins with a time and place for God and for Him alone. If we really believe not only that God exists, but also that He is actively present in our lives, healing, teaching, guiding, we need to set aside a time and space for Him to give Him our undivided attention. When we do this, I know it's awkward, especially if most of us did not grow up in a tradition where this was part of what we were taught. So I know this is awkward for many of us. But when we do this, when we practice the habit of solitude, when we really focus on God, He gives us an amazing promise. Jeremiah 29. You'll seek Me and find Me when you seek Me with all your heart. I've been going to church all my life, and sometimes I just don't understand God. Sometimes I just don't see God. I can't hear God. I can't find God. That's because you're dependent on the church to show him to you. You see the verse? When you seek me with all your heart, not just the Sunday morning devotion, but when you seek me, you look for me, you long for me with all of your heart, the promise is you will find me. I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you this week, at least three times between now and next Sunday. At least three times between now and next Sunday, I'm challenging you to stop, to be quiet, just to experience God, to focus on him. Do your prayer time, but then also do some time of solitude. Just listen. Just be. Be still and know that I'm God. Father, we pray that you would help us to be the kind of people who trust you so much that we're not afraid to be alone with you. Help us to be the kind of people who are growing spiritually because we're focusing our time and our attention on you instead of all the chaos around us. That's hard for us. So we're asking you to help us. Lord, help us to be quiet when it's time, to be real with you. Father, we're reminded even this morning that for any of this to make any sense, for any of this to be effective, we have to be related to you. We have to know you. So we pray right now that you'd help each one of us to make sure that we are your child, that we've trusted in Christ, that we've been forgiven, that we've been adopted into your family. Help each one of us make sure. We pray it in Jesus' name.